I'm going to speak to you today about the subject of the pursuit of excellence. And I've preached this message before, but I made a few little changes, a few little additions to it, and I've shortened it as well. I think I've shortened it. But we're going to talk about that today, because in everything that we're doing, we're fasting and we're praying, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us. Now, the Holy Spirit is always a representative of God, and He will help us. The Bible says, Jesus said, He is the helper. So He comes to help us, not to do it for us, but to help us, which means that we have to put in effort, and the Holy Spirit will put in effort to get the job done, whatever the job is, to make your next move. All right. So we're going to pursue, we're going to talk about the pursuit of excellence. As you know, it's a motto of our church, where excellence is pursued in all things. And so we need to be reminded every so often, what are we talking about when we talk about excellence? So that leads me to the next screen, which excellence is the quality of excelling, possessing good qualities of a high degree. Excellence is the state or manifestation of distinction. In other words, when you're pursuing excellence, or when you have excellence obtained in you, you are going to have that desire to do the best and to be the best that you can be, to speak the best and to be the best in just about every area of your life, especially so when it comes to the things of God. Now, our God is a God of excellence, and He expects His people to be a people of excellence. And so God's people, we don't just drift. We don't drift into church because it's a Sunday morning. No, we come deliberately and we come consciously ready to praise God. Amen. And we start praising God at 11:15. That's when church starts. And we need to be reminded of that. Because if you're pursuing excellence, you're not going to go for the high quality, and you're not going to let anything set you back. You're going to be do everything that you can to be with God's people, to honor God and to respect God's people as well. So it's a two-way street. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. Excellence is seen in many spheres of life, okay? We see it in games. We see it in the Olympics. We see it in our jobs. At least we should see it if we're believers. We see it in our businesses, in our homes, in our relationships. We see it in our finances, in our attitudes. We see excellence, really, or we should see excellence if you're a believer, in every aspect of your life and being. It's a hallmark of Christianity. It's the mark where you are pursuing. Why? Because you serve a God of excellence. You serve a God who is great and who is perfect in all He does. Now, having the spirit of excellence does not mean that you are a perfect person. It does not mean that you make mistakes. As a matter of fact, only those who are pursuing something will falter along the way. Those people who don't make mistakes are people who are doing nothing. And so we will make mistakes. We will falter along the way. But the true grit of champions is that they rise again and continue the pursuit of excellence. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. Now, this demands then, okay, there are five traits, but this demands, before I get into the traits, that's what I'm going to talk about today, an upward look that we've been talking about from day one, an upward look to our God. The most important of the three areas of focus is our God. That's where the starting point is. And because we're focusing on our God, we're saying, Lord, I'm depending upon You. Lord, I'm relying upon You. Lord, I cannot do this, I cannot accomplish, I cannot say this, I cannot speak this, I cannot function, Lord God, without Your directive, without Your help, and without Your power. So our God is the first area of focus. An inward look is ourselves. And we focus on ourselves, and we've been talking about that, I'm not going to go over it. And also an outward look to others. And that's so important, because that's what God is all about, you see. God wants you to be reaching out to others, but before we can reach out to others, we need to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We need to know what He is saying. Know and sense and discern the times and the seasons that we're living in. And then know what to do as believers. Okay? And then we can go outward. And then we can look outward. But as we look to God, God will speak to us. We build ourselves up. Confidence comes. The Word of God comes. And then we reach out with confidence. And we speak with boldness under the anointing and influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it works. So the starting place is God. and nowhere else. Now, let's talk about that a little bit, because our God is a God of excellence, you see. And I'm going to show you a few scriptures. I've deliberately shortened the scriptures. Okay? Our God is a God of excellence. Now, you will see on some of the slides the picture of the eagle. We spoke about being an eagle believer last week. And we said that an eagle believer flies high. He doesn't look low. He flies high. He sees everything. He has sharp eyesight. He's keen with his hearing. Not as good as other animals, but he has good hearing, enough to know when something is moving. And so forth. So you're going to see a picture of the eagle in some of the slides, not all of them, today. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 7, it says this. And in the greatness of your excellence, it's talking about God now, you have overthrown those who rose against you. So our God is a God of excellence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So if God is pursuing a high degree, a high level of manifestation of his glory and his goodness, a high degree, so should we. Why? Because God the Father dwells in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we are not of ourselves, we're not functioning by ourselves. As I said before, the Holy Spirit is our helper, and we have him in our lives to help us on this journey. Not only is God a God of excellence, but his angels are also spirits of excellence. Okay, God created the angels, and the Bible says in Psalm 103 verse 20, bless the Lord, O you, his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. And so the angels of God pursue excellence, heeding God's word and doing what his word says. And if the angels are doing that, and the angels are not, by the way, made in God's image, we are, even so much more should we be doing that.
Amen.
Pursuing excellence and pursuing and speaking and operating like true believers, true children of God, who people who are interested in the domain of God, if you like, in the kingdom of God, the purposes of God, above every other purpose. So God is a God of excellence. The angels operate in excellence. So should we. We should operate in excellence. And I'm going to just give you a few scriptures to back that up. And then I'm going to talk about the five different characteristics or phases, or whatever I'll call it. All right, so Proverbs 31 and verse 20. And this is talking about the virtuous woman. And verse 20 says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them. You excel them. I believe every woman, every wife, every female, and also every male should be pursuing excellence. And here we see this man, this husband, giving a commendation to his wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them. You excel them. Oh, that God would raise up women that would excel in excellence. That would excel in doing well. It's good to do well, but if you can lift it a level, it would be good to lift it a level. And the same with men as well. I know this is for women here directly in this verse, but if we grasp the principle, we can apply it right across our lives. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. Again, we should operate in excellence. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So yes, we should seek to excel, be the best, do the best, say the best, operate in the best way. Okay? We should be that for ourselves, but also for others. That's what this verse is talking about. Seek to excel for the edification of the church. The edification of the church means the building up of the church. So whatever you're doing, okay, make sure that you're doing it to build the church up. Make sure you're doing your part. You're making those sacrifices that are sometimes necessary, okay, to do that. Let's look at Psalm chapter 8. Is it 8 or 9? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 6. Sorry about that. Proverbs 8 and verse 6. It says this, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. Wow. If I'm not open, the psalmist here was, the writer here, okay? He was saying, he's saying, listen, for I'm going to speak of excellent things. I'm going to speak of excellent, I'm not going to talk, I'm going to speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. And I believe that's what God wants to hear and see from his people today as we pursue excellence. All right, number one. Let's talk about the five traits of excellence. Number one, people who excel. Five traits of excellence. You want to know if you have excellence inside of you? I'm going to give you five traits. And if any of them are lacking, then you are lacking. And what we need to do is to go to God and say, Lord, help me in this area. Not ignore it, but help me in this area, Lord. Because you're a God of excellence. And if you want me to function in excellence, Lord, and I see that I'm lacking, Lord, I need your help. I need the wisdom of God to help me and to direct me in this area. People, number one, people who excel work with enthusiasm. Mm. They work with enthusiasm. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not just talking about work at church. You work with enthusiasm at your workplace. You work with enthusiasm at your home. You work with enthusiasm wherever you are, whatever you are doing. You do it with enthusiasm. Let's have a look at scripture here. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10 says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So I'm dealing with the word work here, and then I'll come to enthusiasm in a minute. Okay? Because there are people, and I've met people, not in this church, I've met people who actually somewhat believe that God has told them not to work and just to stay home and pray. I met a man years ago, a pastor sort of called me and said to me, I went to his church to preach, and then he said to me, could I speak to this brother? And I spoke to the brother, this is what he was saying to me. And God called him to stay home and preach. And the pastor spoke to him just to stay home and pray, sorry. The pastor spoke to him and he would not listen to the pastor. And then soon after, he found himself in financial difficulties. He found himself in one big quagmire of us in a situation where he would not have been had he listened to the counsel of his pastor. He didn't. The pastor asked me to speak to him, so I spoke to him. I spoke to him very firmly. I didn't know him. I don't need to know him. I spoke to him with the word of God. I spoke to him in love, but I spoke to him firmly. I said to you, when you get instructions from those leaders over you, you listen. And you don't ignore it. You don't choose and pick what you want to do. You listen. And your pastor told you to what to do, and you didn't do it. And this is what's happened. And so I showed him the word of God. I spoke with him. I prayed with him. And I left him. And I don't know what's happened since. But we're told here, and we see quite clearly from Scripture, that anybody that doesn't think that they should work, neither should they eat. And so work is not the result of sin, as I used to think, way back when I just got saved. But no, work is the result of God's purpose for mankind. And God's purposes are worked out in our lives through work, and in the workplace as well. Which means that we need to have the right attitude when we're at work. Now, let's talk then about enthusiasm. Ralph Emerson said, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. And if that statement is true, that means I've got to have enthusiasm in my spirit when I'm working. So if it's me alone, I'm going to have enthusiasm. If it's me and 1,000 people, I'm going to have enthusiasm. Okay? Whether the job is big or small, give it your best. Whether there is a large audience or no audience, do your best. Can I get an amen? Do your best, man. Do your best. Don't slacken off because you see others are slackening off. No, that's not the spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence says, no, I will continue to do and to give my best because that's what God expects of me. So you see, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. But as I'm doing it as unto the Lord, others around me will see that spirit of excellence and hopefully it will rub off unto those that don't have it. All right. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, and whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So yeah, you may be having problems at work, but no, I'm going to work, I'm going with a positive attitude, and I'm going to do it hard. Yeah, I got a horrible boss, but you know what? I'm going to work, and whatever my job is, whatever my responsibilities are, I am going to do it heartily. But I'm not doing it as heartily as unto man, but I'm doing it heartily as unto God. And then as I do it unto God, man will see, and God will make whatever changes that there needs to be in our lives, or maybe in that surrounding at work. I could tell you stories through my experience of this and how it worked in my life, but I'm keeping it short today. So let's look at another scripture, shall we? Another point. Five traits of excellence. So we've got to work with enthusiasm. The people who excel sharpen their skills. People who excel sharpen their skills. If I am excelling, if I am going for a high mark, then I am going to have to sharpen my skill. What does that mean? They never stop developing. You never stop developing. You don't just drift into from one thing to another. You just drift wherever the wind blows, that's where it carries you. No, you aim and you go purposefully and directly the way that God wants you to go. They never stop developing. They never stop growing. They never stop learning. They never stop improving. These are the marks of excellence, okay? Of people who are sharpening their skills. So, if you're at work, you don't wait for your boss to say, you know, I'm going to put you on a course. You go to your boss and you say, is there a course that I can go on? Or if you see that there is one, you can do it. If you see that there is a book out there that will help you, you buy books. I don't know, this generation today, it's a bookless generation. It seems to me as if the purchase of books is going down. I could be wrong. It seems like not many people invest in books anymore. And that's a shame, I believe. Because inside of books are valuable words and valuable experiences of other people's experiences, what they have been through. I don't know about you, but I love to read about that. So I have many books. And I listen to people and their experiences. And I buy and purchase books to develop myself. To learn from another man, another woman's experience. What have they learned that can be deposited into my life so that I can sharpen my skill? I can develop myself so that I can further myself towards the mark of excellence. And by the way, the excellence is more a journey than a destination. You are always in pursuit of the high level, the high mark. Okay, to attain the best that you can attain. And most times it's a journey rather than a destination. And you learn things along that journey about yourself. You learn things on that journey about others. You learn things on that journey, and especially so during our time of fasting as we submit ourselves to the Lord will be speaking and showing you and leading you things and dropping nuggets in your heart, a thought in there while you're going, you're walking to the bus station or while you're driving to work, a thought or even a billboard you'll see, and I know it's happened to me, so I'm saying it. You know, you're driving and then you see a billboard and bam, a certain word or a picture leaps up in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Why? Because he's driving you towards a mark of excellence. The Bible says that God has a plan for us to see us prosper and not come to any harm. God has a good plan. And so if God has a good plan for us, then my response, my attitude towards that has got to be, I am going to pursue God. And that's what fasting is about. Pursue God. So that I can hear what he has to say. I'm going to move the clutter from my life. I'm going to move away the fleshly demands of the body from me for a period of time. So that my spirit can be open to hear from God. And so that God can come in and he can cleanse me, he can fill me, he can shape me, and he can use me. That's what it's about, man. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, then more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So a little wisdom is needed here. Don't take it. If you know your tool is dull, sharpen it. Sharpen it. You know that you need more information about something that you're in. You want promotion from your boss at work. But what are you doing? Are you studying about management? Are you studying about where is that and what the demands are? Do you know more about the company? No, no, if you don't, your axe is dull. Sharpen your axe. Invest in yourself. Spend time doing whatever you can to develop your skills. And I hope you're understanding this, and I hope you're getting this, because I'm moving on to point number three. Point number three now, the third trait of excellence. People who excel keep their word. Wow. People who excel keep their word. You give a word, you say you're going to do something, and then you continuously don't do it. I'm not talking about sometimes things happen. You know, we're sensible people. Sometimes things happen, and you can't fulfill for whatever reason. That's not what we're talking about. But if you continuously see a pattern in your life where you make a commitment and you're breaking it, you make a commitment but you don't do it, you say, Lord, I love you and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and you continuously don't do it, something is wrong, and you're not pursuing the excellence that God wants you to pursue. You lack integrity, and you've got to address it, because God is a God of integrity. God is a God of His word, and He expects His children to be of their word as well. Are you with me today, folks? I hope you are. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Okay. So people who excel, they keep their word. In other words, they are reliable. Right? They can be counted on. So ask yourself the question, am I reliable? Be honest, just within yourself. Because you see, God already knows the answer. And this is not a message about where is giving off for the negative. No, it's not. It's about being the best for God. Because God is the best for you and given the best for you. And so as we love Him, we want to give Him back and we want to be the best. Isn't that right? We want to be the best for God. And so that means that Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. And that's what every single one of us need to do. And I know that we're doing that. But when we find ourselves lacking, we've got to pause, stop, reflect, do something about it. Make a change. Put in a course of action that will keep you back on track. Am I reliable? Can others depend upon me? Can I be counted on? Am I a person of my word? If I say I will go here and be there, will I be there? Or am I just going to make excuses and not do that? They do what they say they would do. They are people of integrity. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. The Good News Bible. It says, everyone talks about how good and faithful they are, but just try to find someone who really is. You see, talk is never enough. Talk is never enough. We've got to follow it up with committed action. Really got to follow it up. All right, number four. I said I'll keep it short, so I've shortened some of these points. Five traits of excellence. The fourth point is people who excel maintain a positive attitude. Wow. They maintain a positive attitude. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what's going on. You maintain a positive attitude. That's talking about my mindset now. That's talking about my frame of mind, my frame of thinking. Am I going to lose it because of this negative person that's saying negative things? Am I going to lose it because of this negative circumstances? Am I going to lose it because something didn't materialize the way or in the time that I thought it would materialize? No, 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 no. People who excel maintain a positive attitude. Let me give you some areas, okay? And there may be more. These are just some of them. People maintain a positive attitude even when under pressure. Sometimes you can get pressure at work. But remember who you are. And remember whose you are. Maintain that a positive attitude at your workplace. Maintain a positive attitude during the process of change. Whilst facing unrealistic demands, and this could be anywhere. Keep your mind stayed on Christ so that you're always focusing on Him. And so that you're remembering who you are, wherever you are, whatever is happening. You are a child of God. So we want to behave as such at all times. Don't grumble. Don't become a complainer. it's a sad time and a sad place when a particular individual is known for their complaining. Don't become a complainer. Don't grumble. Don't mumble. Remember that we're not pigeon Christians. But we're eagle believers. We're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's where the eagle makes his nest, in the mountains or the very high, tall trees. An eagle does not build its nest on the ground. Don't become argumentative. You have to argue about everything, and you have to have your own way. And if you don't, you're puffed up, you're vexed. Silent treatment and all of that. Let that not be named among you at all. Humble yourself and say, Lord, help me through whatever it is that I'm going, because God is always there and wants to help. Okay, maintain a positive attitude. Philippians 2 verses 14 and 15. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, and shine as lights in the world. Remember, Debbie spoke about that in the run-up to Christmas on our Christmas service. She spoke about light and how God is light, and it's important that we are children of light and that we shine, because that's what light does. But here we are reminded once again, okay, that we've got to be blameless, and you're blameless when you don't complain, when you don't dispute, okay? But you operate or be a harmless person and shine as lights in the world. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 4, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. Your boss might say something at work you don't agree with, you don't like. Doesn't mean you should quit your job. Doesn't mean that you should just leave that post and go crying like a baby. Don't do that. Remember, it's God who gave you that job in the first place. Remember now that God sees and knows the trouble that you were going to face even before you faced it. God is saying, no, my child is a person of excellence, you see. And yeah, they may slip up here and there, but they're going to repent, they're going to grow through it. Folks, we've got to learn to grow through our circumstances. And when we put these into practice, you know, we don't mumble, we don't complain, we don't say, you know, all you're talking about is everything that goes wrong. Look at the things that go right during the daytime. Look at the things that are going right at your workplace. Yeah, you've got people who might not like you, a boss who seems to be picking on you, but use that as a stepping stone for growth and determine within yourself, make that proclamation out of your mouth, I will grow through this in Jesus' name. I will be the best that God wants me to be, because I have the qualities within me. I've got His Word. I've got the Holy Spirit. And I have my brothers and sisters as well, people I can call on to pray for me. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 4, the Living Bible says this, if the boss is angry with you, don't quit. A quiet spirit will quiet his bad temper. That's the same verse in a different version. The Living Bible. Number 5. The fifth trait of excellence. People who excel do more than expected. They do more than expected. I hope you're not seeing this as oppressive at this point. Do more than expected. Because sometimes we're wired a different way. We say, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, and that's it. I'm not doing nothing more. No. What if the Spirit of God is telling you to do more? What if more is needed of you and you see the capacity within you to offer it? What are you going to do? Not do it? That goes against the grain of excellence. Let's have a look at some points, okay? You do more than expected. That's a secret of every successful person. And by the way, the world measures success different from the way God measures success. The world measures success by what you have. By numbers, how many likes you have, how many followers you have, how much money is in your bank account, how many people like you, how many people you rule over. They measure success completely different. How popular you are, how much money you have. That's the way that the world measures. God doesn't measure success like that. He measures success by your obedience to what he has spoken. And so therefore, in God's eyes, every person who hears or receives a word or a command or an instruction from God and then gets up and does it, that person in God's eyes is a successful person. Do you know why? Because at the end of that act of obedience, there's a blessing. There's a blessing waiting for you. All right. The bare minimum is never enough. I think I just said that. I'll do this, I'll do that, but I won't do this. The bare minimum is never enough. And the times we're living in now, the Spirit of God is going to pull you and draw you to do more for him. He's going to open up your eyes. And it's going to begin. You see, what I said to you at the beginning of the year is that whatever we're starting now is going to continue in 2025 and beyond. And sometimes it's going to take time. How many people know that it takes time to build a habit? Right, it takes about 8 weeks, they say. About 8 weeks to build a habit that's continually doing the same thing again and again and again before it becomes a habit. And breaking habits sometimes take even longer. Now, through the power and the word of God, it can be shorter in the name of Jesus, especially so when we invoke the word of God into our life and say, no, Lord, this is the habit that I'm going to create. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do that. But sometimes in order to create a good habit, you need to break a bad one. And that's just the way it is. It's the way life is. You need to create it. And so we need to say to ourselves, well, what do I need to break? Is my mentality the bare minimum? Is that where I'm at? Is that how I'm going? Is that where I'm at? Because if it is, then I need to change that. Because God doesn't think or operate like that. Well, you know, God get up one day and say, you know, I think I'll do the bare minimum. No, he doesn't. God is always looking to give his all. Isn't that right? His all. God is looking to give his all. His children ought to be looking to give their all. Remember that. Commandments of God are not grievous. Alright? Do more than expected. But why? Because it goes against a grain of mediocrity. Mediocrity. Man, why? Mediocre. Mediocre lives. Mediocre being. Mediocre person. That doesn't sound like God. It goes against a grain of mediocrity. And it demonstrates also a good attitude. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And whoever compels you to go with him 1 mile, what does the scripture say? Go with him 2. That's the attitude that God wants us to have. Do more than what is expected. And this is, I believe this was the Beatitudes that Jesus teaching on the mountain when he taught the crowds and the disciples, part of the Beatitude. Look at the Phillips version of the same verse. It says, if anybody forces you to go a mile with him, do more. Go 2 miles with him. The spirit of excellence always demands or requires us to do more than the norm, more than the average, more than what the mediocrity level is. The Statue of Liberty. Oscar Hammerstein saw on top, the top of the head of the statue from a helicopter. And what impressed him was the small intricate details that he saw carved at the top on the head of the Statue of Liberty. This is what other people would not see. He saw more than others would see. The point I'm making here is when you are tempted to cut corners and to think no one will ever know, remember God is looking down and sees everything that you do. As Oscar looked down from the helicopter and saw the detail, the small detail, even so God looks down from heaven and he sees the small intricate detail of what's happening and what's going on in your mind and in your heart. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. We talk about the mind before I started this recording. And here is a scripture, a couple of verses that's going to point to that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living what? Sacrifice. Okay? Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What God is demanding of you is reasonable. But it's a sacrifice that you have to give. And we should be willing to give anyway because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there are times when we have to say, no. My thinking now has to change. Because my thinking is what kept me on this level. My thinking was what went against the grain of what God is doing. My thinking is actually holding me back from becoming the best that I need to be. And so I've got to change that. That you may be able to prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So don't be so busy that you can't plant the word of God in your heart. Don't be so busy that you don't have time to study God's word. Don't be so busy that you don't have time to, put the things of God first and foremost in your life so that you have everything that God has made available to you to be who God wants you to be and to do what God wants you to do. Let it dwell in you, but I like that word richly. Let it dwell in you, but not just dwell in you, but let it dwell in you richly. It's working. Okay, you're conscious and you understand what's going on. You know what it means. And it's ready. You're ready to give a word because the word of God Christ is there. You're ready to speak a word, as Paul said, in season and out of season. When it's popular and when it's not popular. Be ready to do that. One more slide, and I think that's it. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse, because you see, when we ask you to share, every person should be ready to share something. I like what Joan said a couple of weeks ago, I think she said it. And in her personal life, she mentioned to us that she's reviving again that jar and counting your blessings. You know, and I sat there, and I said to myself, you know what? All of us really, even if it's even on a personal level, all of us should be doing that. We should be counting our blessings. And let me tell you something, right? And I think she may have said this as well, that every single day, every single one of us will have, if we're looking correctly, we will have something to give God thanks for. Amen. The very fact that you're alive, come on, man. The very fact that your eyes open, do you know how many people have not woken up to see this day? Do you know how many people have died on the 31st of December and not lived to see the new year? We are here. And we've got to be grateful for it. The worst thing we could ever do is to take life for granted. Worst thing you could ever do. And so that's why I think what Joan is doing in her life, and maybe others are doing it, take note of what God is doing. And if you've not started, you can start now. I think I'm going to do that. I've been doing it every day, almost every day, and thanking God, but I've not been writing it down. I think I'm going to change that and do what Joan's doing. Write it down every day. If it's even on a little piece of paper, write it down, and it's the same thing that I put yesterday, and write it down and put in there. And then just thank God for it. Father, thank you for these mercies. At the end of the day, just thank you, Lord, for these mercies. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you, Lord, that I have my faculties, Lord. And even all my faculties aren't working, I can breathe. And there's nobody blind here. We can all see. And where some of us may not be seeing properly or hearing properly or walking properly, that is coming in Jesus' name. And that's down to us to declare it and to profess it and to believe for it. But we ought to be taking note of what God is doing. Do not forget to do good and to share and to share and to get up and testify and to get up and encourage your brethren and to get up and edify the body of Christ and to share for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You know what that means? That means sometimes it's an effort or it's not easy to do for whatever it is. It might not be all the case every single time, but sometimes there are sacrifices that we need to make in order to do the right thing, in order to do the good. Are you with me? And do you remember when I spoke? Do you remember when I spoke about? I spoke about sacrifices, and I spoke about an altar and how to give, how to create and repair your altar of your heart and the altar of your life. And do you remember when I spoke and I said that there are four things? The four levels of sacrifices. The first level is what? You. And we just read the scriptures that confirm that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Four levels of sacrifices. You. Praise and worship. So you might not feel like it, but no. I'm determined in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be early in the house of God. I'm going to be early in the house of God, and I'm going to give God praise. Lord, I'm doing it as unto you and not as unto man. I'm going to discipline myself, Lord God, to be in your house. I'm not going to be so busy on a Saturday that I can't get up on a Sunday morning to be in your house. If I'm going to give you praise and I'm going to give you worship. That's what God wants from his people anyway. I'm going to be here with my brothers and my sisters, Lord, and I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you worship because, Lord, that's what you require. And that's a level of sacrifice that I need to give from my life to make it happen. Number three, our prayers. Four levels of sacrifices. You've had this already. I'm just reminding you. You, praise and worship, our prayers. Oh my God, a Christian who does not pray has no communication, no relationship with God at all. How could you have a relationship with God and you're not praying? No. Prayer is your umbilical cord. An umbilical cord in a pregnant mother connects the baby to that mother. Without that umbilical cord, there will be no nutrients received from that baby. That baby would die. And not only that, but the mother can't take the substance that is not good in the baby from the baby without an umbilical cord, so that baby will grow up healthy in her womb. So the mother gives and the mother receives. Prayer is our umbilical cord. God gives to us and we receive from God whatever he has made available to us. It's a connection that is vitally important. Without it, as I said, the baby would die. Without prayer, we would spiritually die. Because it's something that God has put into place so that we would function and be who he wants us to be. And the fourth level is seed. Something which costs you something. Something of value. Something that you lay at the altar. Something that you give. The seed that you sow when you give on your offerings. The seed that you sow when you give. Wherever you give. But you is the first level. Praise and worship. Prayers, and it's something of value which you give. And my prayer today, folks, is that when we leave this place, that we will leave, Lord God, knowing that we're children of the living God. We know that already, but that we will operate as children of the living God with excellence in every facet, in every single area of our lives, because that's what God wants us to do. Look, don't look at the problems and the challenges so much. Look to your God who has the answers. Because we all have challenges. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. But don't let that become your focus. Let God become your focus. And thank him. Come with faith before him. And Father, I haven't got the answer, but Lord, I know you have. And so, Father, I present this difficulty, this challenge. Lord, I don't know what to do. But Lord God, wisdom comes from you. I'm your son. And Lord, I'm looking to you and I'm pursuing you and I'm seeking your face, Lord God, in everything that is said and everything that is done. I look to you. And when you do that, God looks down and says, ah, that's nice, man. That's exactly what I want. Because I've already got your answer. Remember now Psalm 139, your days are counted out and mapped out before as were there were none of them. Your days are already numbered. God already has your life planned out. So why not go to him to find out what the next steps are? Makes sense, doesn't it? It really does make sense. So trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Proverbs 3 verse 5. And lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Acknowledge him. Know him. Experientially and relationally. The Hebrew word is yada, used over 800 times in the Bible, has a varied amount of reasonings. Yada, we see it, and I've gone through this already, I've taught you this already. It's used in different ways in the Bible. But folks, it's time for us to acknowledge him, okay, and to know him relationally and experientially, because God has a beautiful plan for you. And in Jesus' name, you're going to see and walk into the fullness of it. In Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? I'm going to pray.